Okay. All right, everybody. So this is it. This is my last share with you guys. So I just want to say, first of all, thank you very much for coming to share today and learning together. Rabbi Benovitz told me when I came here that there are five potential days that you could possibly be giving share to the. Well, not five. What was it? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. No, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Right. Five potential days. And he said, and if you end up giving three or four, then that's a win, because of the way things sometimes go, and kol olam for a million other things going on. Baruch Hashem, we're five for five, right? So thank you for making that happen, and for learning together each and every day, and Ashreichem for all the hard work you're doing with all of the campers, and for inspiring them. I realized everyone was at Rav Sacks this morning. So I thought his suggestion of how beautiful it would be if all the Madrichim ran straight to the Beis Medrash at the end of Tisha B'Av, in theory, is such a beautiful suggestion. And Rabbi Horn pointed out to me, everyone's at the Kotel. there's no running to the Beis Medrash. I don't know if there's anything that could be done about that. But I thought it was such a beautiful suggestion. In theory, it would be such a... What?
She brings fire.
Right after. Yeah. Yeah, have a Kotel Beis Medrash, the Tim Beis Medrash. I don't know if we have to take sides, but so learn for 5 minutes would be a nice. So today we're going to do our last sugya. We could have just finished up yesterday's sugya, but I decided might as well spread our wings a little further. I want to apologize that I'm a drop late because I was doing shiur on the lower campus, and also I didn't really have time to look this over and prepare because I was listening to Rav Sacks and then giving shiur on the lower campus, so I didn't have a chance. But today I'd like to talk about learn together with your mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho, another concept that relates to mitzvos. And the concept of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho is essentially a concept that tells us that better to do things yourself rather than rely on other people to do them. But it comes up two primary places in Shas. One is Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph, and the other is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes. These are the two places it comes up in Shas, and it's important to know where it comes up in Shas because it could have come up in any number of places in Shas, right? It doesn't come up in, Hilchos Kiddush, that you should say Kiddush yourself rather than be yotzei to someone else because Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucho, or in Hilchos Tkiyah Shofar, or in Hilchos anything, other than two areas. So we're going to have to think about as we go through it, is that Dafko or is that Lav Dafko? Right, the fact that it's in these two places in Shas. So Kiddushin Mem Aleph is the following. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the second paragraph of the Sechus Kiddushin, Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo U'Bishluchel, that a man can be Mekadesh a woman, but not only that, he can also use a Shliach to be Mekadesh a woman. So the Gemara asks the question, Hashta Bishluchel Mekadesh Bo Mibai, if he can even be Mekadesh Nisha with a Shliach, you need to tell me that he can be Mekadesh Nisha himself? Of course he can do it himself. So the Gemara says, Amar Yosef Mitzvah Bo Yoser Mi Bishluchel. It Dafka wants to tell me that even though you could do it both ways, we say bo first, then bishlucho, to tell me that the ideal is to be mekadesh the isha yourself. So pro tip, show up to your own wedding. Don't just send a shliach, no matter what it is, that what else you might have going on that day. Even if you get married on the day of the Super Bowl, you show up to your own wedding. Mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho. And then that very Gemara Kiddushin refers to the sugya in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes. It says, where else do we see mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho? We have a Maaser Rav. Kiyad Rav Safra Machrich Reisha. Rav Safra used to be Machrich Reisha, which means he used to singe the head of the animal to prepare it for eating, the soft meat of the head for eating. Rava Malach Shibuta. Rava would salt the fish for Shabbos. It was a thing that people would have, still a minag al pi kabbalah. It's a very big deal to have fish at all three seudos and Shabbos, right? You ever wonder why every shalosh seudos you've ever been at in your life has tuna fish, right? Tuna fish and egg salad. Why dafka tuna fish and egg salad? So tuna fish, because there's a big Indian to have fish for all three meals of Shabbos, and that's why gefilte fish became a staple at people's tables on Shabbos. And an egg salad, because it's a meichel avelu to have eggs, and Shabbos, Beit HaShemashos is a time of Avelos in a certain sense because it's when Moshe Rabbeinu died. That's why we say Tzidik Adin. In Mincha, Shabbos afternoon, we say Tzidkascha on Shabbos afternoon as a form of tzedek hadid. It's also why Chacham Shemes Beis Midrash Batel, and we don't learn heavy things during that period of time. So anyway, so they would prepare the fish, and these were Chacham Gadol and Rav Yosef, Rav Safra, Rava. They would be doing these things. So the Gemara, in Shabbos Kuf Yutes is a little bit more elaborate about it. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yutes Amar Alef tells us that Rabbi Chanina Ma'ati Fakaya Pani Damali Shabbat. Rabbi Chanina would wrap himself in his fine clothing and do an Atifas HaRosh and be prepared to greet Shabbos. Amar Bo V'Netzei Lukro Shabbos HaMalka. Now let's go greet Shabbos HaMalka. Rabbi Yadi Lovish Mani Mali Shabbos Amar Bo Ikala Bo Ikala. Right? That they would get dressed nicely and they would come to greet the Kala. Rab Barav Huna Ikla Lebe Rab Barav Nachman Krivi Le Tfasa Yitachi Amar Luhu Miyav Yadis and Dasina. Did you know I was coming? Why, you think you're better than Shabbos? I prepared this delicious food for Shabbos. It wasn't in your honor, it was in the honor of Shabbos. As Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, Rav Shaftur quotes in Nefesh HaRav, that anything that we do to honor Shabbos has nothing to do with whether people are around or not. It's to honor Shabbos. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik was insistent that even if you're all alone, you should wear Big Day Shabbos. That Big Day Shabbos is not only something that's for other people to see. It's not only for shul, it's for all day. That's Rav Shechter tells the Maisa in Nefesh HaRav, a little bit of a disturbing Maisa when you're dealing with this kind of heat, but he said that it was a really, really hot day in Boston, a hot Shabbos day, and there was one Balabas who lived far away from Maimonides, from where the Rav's minion was, and Soloveitchik saw him walking back to the shir on Shabbos afternoon. The guy wasn't wearing his jacket. Rav Soloveitchik said, "What happened to your jacket?" And he said, "Well, I'm smart. It was hot, so I left it in the shul this morning. So I have to walk home with it. I didn't have to walk back with it. And now I'll have it ready for me in shul for a mincha." Rav Soloveitchik said to him, "Better not to come back for the shir if you're not gonna wear a jacket when you go out." Meaning that you're not wearing the jacket for me, you're not wearing the jacket for mincha, you're not wearing the jacket for the other people in shul. You wear the jacket because it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos, you should wear the jacket. So that's again a little bit of a difficult mindset to internalize. When I was in Karen B'Yavne, so all the Israelis have a certain amount of chutzpah. It's been noted, right? And all the Israelis were hacking of Shechter to tell stories. He happens to have a lot of good stories, but like I don't know, the Gadol Ador comes. Saper li sipur. It's like it was a little bit, I don't know. So they kept on hacking it. So then he told that story, and they stopped asking. they didn't want any more stories after that one. They were afraid what would come next. I remember once when right after my son Yonah was born, so there was a DRS Shabbaton, and Rav Shechter was a scholar in residence on the Shabbaton. And on Friday night, baby Yonah vomited all over my suit, so I couldn't wear my jacket the rest of Shabbos. So Rav Shechter came over to me before Mincha and he said, "Maybe if we divide up all the boys around the hotel, someone could find your jacket." And I said, "Rebbe, I didn't lose my jacket. My son got sick all over my jacket last night." He said, "Oh, okay, I have a lot of nachas." Okay, so that was so I always say, I have so much nachas because Rav Shechter gave that bracha. I have a lot of nachas. But so what were we saying? Oh, so everyone, you get dressed up for Shabbos, you get Shabbos, anything else, come at Shabbos, you make nice food for Shabbos, not because you're having a lot of company, right? If you're not having company, you don't do tuna fish sandwiches for Shabbos. I remember Dafka, this really struck me like during COVID. You know those Shabboses during COVID? It was like, there was no company, there was no one coming, and like food took on extra importance. I don't know, maybe it was just in my family. Like everything, all of a sudden we went super spitz with the food, and that was that's appropriate. Meaning that Shabbos should be, it's for the sake of Shabbos. It's not because you have a fancy company or anything like that. So the Gemara tells us about all of these things about getting dressed, and then the Gemara says, and Rav Safra Machrach Reishon Rav Malach Shibuta, and not only that, Rav Huna Madlik Shargi, Rav Huna would light the candles, Rav Papa Gadol Psilti, he would spin, not spin. twist the wicks to make nice wicks. You guys never saw that, but like it used to be, people would make their own wicks for Hanukkah candles and things like that. It didn't always come in a glass prefab, it just pop off the rubber thing or whatever. So they would do that for Shabbos. Rav Chista Parim Silka, grate the beets. Rabbi Yosef Malchitzivi, they would chop the wood. They would do whatever they needed to do for Shabbos. And this was the hanhaga of the Gedolei Yisrael. So that of the Gedolei Amoraim. So the Gemara tells us two things about Mitzvah Bar Yosef Mishlucho. Number one, we see Mitzvah Bar Yosef Mishlucho in the context of Kiddushin, and number two, we find Mitzvah Bar Yosef Mishlucho in the context of preparing for Shabbos. So before we get to what the parameters of Mitzvah Bar Yosef Mishlucho are, why? What's the inyan of Mitzvah Bar Yosef Mishlucho? Meaning, obviously, it's only going to apply to a mitzvah that has shlichus, right? If it's a mitzvah that doesn't have shlichus, then there's no question that it's not mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, it's just mitzvah bo, period. You're the only one that can do it, right? We don't say mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho and hanachas tefillin. Hanachas tefillin is you're the only one eligible to put on tefillin for you. So obviously, that mitzvah don't have shlichus, you're not going to say mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho. But it happens to be there is a discussion, fascinating discussion in Achronim, Rishonim and Achronim, as to which mitzvos are shlichus eligible and which are not. Okay, so for that, you have the Tesis Ridim, Mesechus Kiddushin, there's a famous Ketzais that disagrees with the Tesis Rid about which mitzvos exactly are eligible for shlichus. You have Rav Elchanan and the Kovetz Shiurim, where Rav Elchanan suggests the difference between, as we mentioned before, a goal-oriented mitzvah and an action-oriented mitzvah. Maybe action-oriented mitzvos are subject to shlichus, goal-oriented mitzvos are not subject to shlichus. Rav Asher Weishlita points out that there's a third category. There's a category of mitzvah that's kind of partially goal-oriented and kind of partially action-oriented, that if something is totally goal-oriented, maybe you don't even, not only is it subject to shlichus, maybe you don't even need a shliach. Maybe you can even have a guy like building a makkah. We've discussed this, I think. Right? But leaving aside all that, it's obviously only going to apply to the mitzvahs that shlichus is possible for. So we'll say, so I can send a shliach to clean my house on Erev Shabbos. I can send a shliach, I can have a shliach cook for me on Erev Shabbos. And I can even have a shliach be mekadesh nisha for me. But it's better to do it myself. Mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho. So there's a beautiful tshuva in the Kleizenberg Rebbe's tshuvas in Ebenezer Siman Nun. Kedai to learn a little bit about the Kleizenberg Rebbe. It's a good tshuva activity. Learn about the Kleizenberg Rebbe's life and what it means to live through Chorban and how to react to Chorban. Very kedai to learn about. There are certain personalities that are... Tisha B'Av is a good day for biographies, especially those who went through personal Chorbanos. So if I could add that for a second. I remember years ago, I was talking about a sefer that I had just gotten, a book that I had just gotten, a biography of Rabbi Yashiv that was written while Rabbi Yashiv was still alive. It was a biography in Hebrew called Hashakdan. It's three volumes, I think, two or three volumes about Rav Eliyashiv. The entire arts biography is based on that. I think it was clearly unauthorized because Rav Eliyashiv never would have authorized a biography during his lifetime, obviously. But his family did a lot of things without, you know, he never would have given permission, so they just did. They published his shuvas without asking him permission. They write that in the biography that we published his shuvas. And someone came in and said, Mazel Tov. And he said, for what? And they said, the new sefer. He said, what new sefer? And they said, well, your shuvas were just published. What? They were? And he put his head back in the Gemara and went back to learning. But that's the end of every story. He put his head back in the Gemara and went back to learning. So I had mentioned it, and I got a message from Akiva Willig, from Rabbi Akiva Willig, like a few days before Tisha B'Av. We know there's someone going up to Marashah from the five towns. Can you send Hashakdan to my father? That's when he reads Gedol biographies on Tisha B'Av afternoon. So Maisarat, that Rav Mordechai Willig, so he read all the volumes of Hashakdan. We had it lying around the house, the book Hashakdan, and my wife is like, what kind of chutzpah is that? Did they call a book Hashakran? It's not a rage. She never heard of the word Shakdan because she had never seen a Shakdan until she met Yisrael. You know? But so where were we? It's a good idea. It's a good idea to go through learn about Gedolim who suffered through Chorban. So I say Rav Eliyashiv is not necessarily in that category, but certainly the Kleizenberger Rebbe, the Sri Deish, There are certain personalities that really went through mamish churban achar churban achar churban, and were tremendous builders of Torah. So anyway, so the Kleizenberger Rebbe writes in the Tshuva that Kleizenberger Rebbe is most famous to us for being the Rebbe of Rav Asher Weiss, but he was a Rebbe in his own right also. So he writes in his Tshuvas. Rav Asher Weiss, again, if you want to learn about him, Rav Asher Weiss spoke about him a lot, so you can probably find recordings about Rav Asher Weiss speaking about the Kleizenberger Rebbe, what it was like to daven with him and listen to him daven and things like that. So he says, L'fiyan yistayti hach de mitzvah b'yosem v'shulcho haynu she'ikar ha-mitzvah hu'tirchas ha-mitzvah v'shibud gufal Hashem yisbarach. He says that the primary element of the mitzvah is what we put into the mitzvah, is the effort we put into the mitzvah, the tircha we put into the mitzvah, the show of our shibud to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why mitzvah bo yosem v'shulcho, because you can have a shliach do it, and someone could be watching you the whole time, and you're just watching a ball game, and it doesn't even look like you're doing the mitzvah. And that, something is missing from that mitzvah, because the primary element of mitzvah, so do you get the check in the box up in Shemayim that you did the mitzvah? Yeah. But the primary element of the mitzvah is to put the effort into the mitzvah, and he has a whole arichus about amelus b'torah, and dalaf ne'miyata amel, and yagati umatzasi tamin, and all sorts of marmakomos that emphasize the value of working toward mitzvahs. Similar to what Rav Sacks was talking about this morning with Talmud Torah, that person is not amel for, that a famous part from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz thought that there's no nicham avilim for a baby who lost his Torah after being born, because that Torah didn't come through amelus. That the primary element is always through amelus. Good. Now there's an inyan of mitzvah bo yosem v'shulcho, right? It's at least an inyan. Does that make it a chiyuv or just an inyan? So this, as you would probably guess, is a machlokas achronim. There's a Torah Shor in Hilchos Shechita in Simun Chav Ches, where the Torah Shor writes that when Chazal calls something a mitzvah, you can't easily dismiss it. It's just an inyan. So if they say mitzvah bo yosem v'shulcho, then it must be that it's mitzvah to do things bo yosem v'shulcho. Of course, that depends how you touch the phrase. Is it that mitzvah, when it comes to mitzvahs, bo yosem v'shulcho, better do it yourself than v'shulcho, or mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to do everything, all mitzvahs, bo yosem v'shulcho. So are we describing the idea of doing it yourself as being, meaning is the mitzvah going on the bow, or is the mitzvah going on bo yosem v'shulcho? Right, so that's a Torah Shor writes that Chazal called it a mitzvah. We can't easily dismiss it as anything short of a tzivoy. However, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Kuntros Achron says that it doesn't seem that way. He points out, it's a fascinating comment that he has. He writes that the Rambam writes Chayuv, and the Lashon of the Torah in Shulchan Aruch also, and he says Velo Iskiru Had the Rav of Rav Safra Klal. The Gemara tells Amoraim who did things that were clearly beneath their dignity in order to prepare for Shabbos. Would they be allowed to do things that are beneath their dignity if it wasn't a requirement? Meaning something that's there are actual mitzvahs that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to do things that are beneath his dignity in order to do the mitzvah. Most famously, of course, Hashabbos Aveda, the Salamta, that Zakin Veidel Fikvoto, he doesn't have to do Hashabbos Aveda. And it's not only about Hashabbos Aveda, right? The Gemara uses that as a model in the Sugi Brachos Yutas about when we cover up his Docholos Aseisha Betorah, that when it's B'Shevi Alta said. So there are actual mitzvahs that you don't have to do. So to be mevaza themselves. So he says, "Mechal de chiyuva ikur b'milsa." That it must be that there's a chiyuv. V'lchein huskak l'tam acher shezel kavod l'shabbos v'lo mishum yisron mitzvah b'yalma. Can't just be an extra thing. V'idolov eskiru b'gemara heichayu nisarim kein b'shar mitzvah sel b'shabbos v'bashin shenisavidu l'chabdu b'mo'od. V'yimachav nosa kol kach at shakor nosa kala u'malchasa shel b'tzinu kein b'shar mitzvah. He says, we find that they dafka were mevaza themselves. They dafka did things they beneath their dignity to do it themselves, dafka in preparation for Shabbos. And that's why the Gemara is so graphic in its terminology. Shabbos malchasa, boikala, because it's about Shabbos. That dafka, because Shabbos is so special, that's where we're going to say it's a chiyuv. So says Shulchan Aruch HaRav, it's a chiyuv for Shabbos. But everywhere else, it's a Yisron Ba'alma. It's just a chumrah to do things yourself more than, not a chumrah, I don't want to say it like that, not a chumrah, but a maila. It's a maila in the mitzvah in everything else. But by Shabbos, it's a chiyuv. By Shabbos, you have to go out of your way. Otherwise, these chacham gedolim never would have been allowed to go out of their way to do the mitzvah.
That's a difficult svar for the government. Number one is, like, each of those gedolim, amorah, whatever, pick a different aspect for Shabbos. It's not like that was a
chiyuv
to do that specific
There's a certain style of learning, right, that takes every machlokas in Tanakh and turns it into like a machlokas Rambam and Raivin, you know. What sefer was it? There was a sefer that asked for Haskama from Rav Chaim, and he said only on condition that you remove one shtickle Torah, because there was one shtickle Torah that made a machlokas between Paro and Moshe into a machlokas Rambam and Raivin. And Rav Chaim said, I can't give a Haskama to a sefer that says that that Paro was the Shittas Rambam. You're not allowed to argue on Moshe Rabbeinu, so it can't be that Rambam was arguing on Moshe Rabbeinu. Dafki said any other Dafki, maybe yeah, but not Moshe Rabbeinu. So it was already too late. The sefer had already gone to print. Meaning they just stick on extra pages at the beginning. So the author put a note that this, you know, it's already printed, but the objection noted. You know, which is a funny thing to do because he made the haskama al tanai, but they just put an objection noted, and here's the haskama to the rest of the sefer. So it's a collector's item. It's like the sefer. What's that sefer called? Valo lo yibol, right? Of Hanhagos and Rosham Zalman Orbach. There was a Talmud Chacham that used to walk around with Rosham Zalman Orbach through Shari Chesed back, wherever, you know, from Grushel or whatever, and you just have conversations, and then you recorded every word of the conversation. There's a guy that does this with Rosh Hashanah now. He records every single word of the conversation that they had. So he wanted to publish it, and he asked Rosh Hashanah Zalman's kids. And like some of the things Rosh Hashanah Zalman was clearly just joking, some of the things Rosh Hashanah, but he was very loyal. He kept exactly, like one time he asked Rosh Hashanah Zalman a question, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, "How long did you learn yeshiva for?" He's obviously saying, like, how do you not know that answer? And the guy wrote, "Kamas manat alamad yeshiva." Like, he kept it exactly right. So, but I think one of Rosh Hashanah's guys, I think it was Rav Israel Orbach, said, one of them said, wrote in his haskama, it wasn't really haskama, it was a plea not to publish the sefer. It was, my father wasn't, you know, this wasn't like, these were conversations, they were not, it was not meant to be psak, it was not meant to be anything, he didn't give thought to this is not, so the person printed that letter, and, you know, objection noted, and here's the, so if you flip through quickly, you say, oh, he's got his covers from all the children, not really. So what were you saying? So Seth raised the question as follows, that, each of the Amoraim did something different. So if the real Indian is that you're supposed to prepare for Shabbos, you should be Malach Shibuta, and you should be Machruch Reisha, and you should be sweeping the floors, and you should be making the potato kugel, and you should be doing all of those things. So it's an interesting question about Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucha. I mean, can one fulfill Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucha by a partial mitzvah? So the Magen Avraham in Siman Taf Lamed Beis Hilchos Pesach writes that Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucha applies to Bedikas Chametz. And he says, and therefore, you should do at least part of the bedikah yourself. So the implication of the Magen Avraham is that one can fulfill this maila of mitzvah yosef mishlucha by doing part of it, even if he's not doing the entirety of it. Meaning that there is a concept called shlichus, and you're allowed to rely on shlichus, but one should not solely rely on shlichus. Mitzvah yosef mishlucha tells you that you should have some active participation in the mitzvah, and it could be that that's even part of it. In fact, Shulchan Aruch HaRav seems to disagree in Siman Taf Lamed Beis in Hilchos Pesach, which is curious. But that's what the Magen Avraham writes. This comes out very relevant if you apply Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho to Hechsher Mitzvah. The Rush in Kiddushin, in the first paragraph of Kiddushin, Osu Beis, says, well, clearly mitzvah yos mishloach applies to kiddushin, and is kiddushin a mitzvah? So this is a Rashi, the first part of Maseches Ksubos, famous Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, where the kiddushin is a mitzvah, where the Rashi says that the birchas erusin is not a birchas mitzvah because there is no mitzvah of erusin. It is at most a hechsher mitzvah for puravu. Aye, there are other ways to do puravu with the pilagish, this and that. Okay, fine, but this is the best way, right? So it's a hechsher mitzvah of puravu, and yet the Gemara applies the mitzvah yosim b'shlucho to kiddushin. So apparently, mitzvah yosim b'shlucho applies even to a hechsher mitzvah. The Netziv, famously in Hamak She'ela on Mitzvah Kuf Samach Tes, writes that there is a difference between different types of hechsher mitzvah. There's hechsher mitzvah ksuva gupra, and there's hechsher mitzvah that's not in the pasuk. And that's why you'll note the Netziv says that both examples that the Gemara uses are ksuva gupra. Pi'ikach Hashishas ksuva gupra, preparing for Shabbos, he says it's ksuva gupra. It's a little bit more difficult to see exactly how, but the Netziv says that that's ksuva gupra. And therefore, any mitzvah, any hechsher mitzvah, ksuva b'kra, we would apply some of the principles of mitzvos, including mitzvah bo yosrim b'shlucho. So it turned out, according to the Netziv, that if you bought your brand new tcheles, and you want to tie your tcheles, so you could either learn how to do it yourself, or you could ask Daniel Leibowitz to do it for you. So the better thing to do would be to tie it yourself, right? Mitzvah bo yosrim b'shlucho, right? Or the mitzvah of building the hechsher mitzvah of building a sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah. L'chor, it's not a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. So l'chor, it's better to build the sukkah yourself rather than to rely on others to build the sukkah. So you want to fulfill the hechsher mitzvah, bo yosrim b'shlucho. You want to fulfill the shita of the netziv and build the sukkah yourself. But a sukkah is heavy and the beams are heavy and everything is it's hard. So do you have to do the whole thing yourself? So it could be, and it could be, by the way, that sukkah is more than just a hechsher mitzvah. There's an Avnei Nezer that writes that based on Makos Tavches, that sukkah maybe building a sukkah is a mitzvah. That it sounds from Makos Tavches. The Gemara talks about the Gemara says Hovel Matzah Charish Einu Charish Charish Alav Mitzvah. So by sukkah's ganvim, the Gemara says that. The Gemara suggests the possibility that chativas eitzim de mitzvah is chativas eitzim. The Gemara talks about how do you kill when you're in the middle of doing something that's a dvar mitzvah versus a dvar rishus. The Gemara makes tavches. So it talks about a chativa de mitzvah. So what's chativas eitzim de mitzvah? When you ever chopping wood, that's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says that chopping wood of the sukkah. But then the Gemara says no, the chopping is not a mitzvah. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. And Rashi comments over there, yeah, because the mitzvah is only the asiyas asukah. What do you mean? The mitzvah is the yeshiva asukah. He said the wrong thing. I mean, Rashi could have. He had it right there in front of him. Chativas eitzim for the sukkah is not a mitzvah. Chopping the wood to build it—that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is yeshiva sukkah. Rashi says asiyas asukah. So the Netziv says even if you ignore Rashi, there's an often a mishnah in Shavuos that chavtes nishba levatal samitzvah is kigon shalo laso sukkah. Levatal samitzvah shalo laso sukkah says the Avnei Nezer. Apparently asiyas sukkah is a mitzvah. Now what's the pashup shad? Because what happens if you're not also a sukkah, you're not going to have a sukkah, right? You're not going to have a yeshiva sukkah either. But be that as it may, even if it's only a hechsher mitzvah, which pashtus as it is, right? We don't say a bracha, I'm building the sukkah, and there's Yerushalmi like that, okay, but we don't say a bracha. The Babli says say shechiyonu. Yerushalmi says you actually have a bracha and building a sukkah, okay, but we don't say a bracha and building a sukkah. So it's a hechsher mitzvah. So do you have to do the whole thing yourself? So I think the common practice is you roll out one of the mats yourself. You put something, you put a mashu on the sukkah yourself. And that's based on the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach. And the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach says, in order to fulfill mitzvah bo, yosim yishlucho, you don't need to do it in its entirety. You need to do part of it, some of it, some element of the mitzvah is already a fulfillment of mitzvah bo, yosim yishlucho. So on that issue, does it apply to all mitzvahs or only to like Shabbos and Kiddushin? So Shulchan Aruch Harav had this unique shita that Shabbos is different than every other mitzvah. That by Shabbos it's a chiyuv, by every other mitzvah it's a ma'ila. But by Shabbos it's a chiyuv of mitzvah bo yosrim b'shlucho. Not all the Achronim agree with the Shulchan Aruch Harav, as you might predict. The Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Nun at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos seems to assume that it automatically for sure applies to all of the mitzvos. In fact, you find in Hilchos Pesach elsewhere, in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Samech, in Aruch Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Harosh hayim mishtadel b'matzas mitzvah v'omir al asiyaso u'mizaris ha'oskim v'omisayev v'arichasan v'chein ro'i l'kaladam lasos li'tapel hu ba'atzmo b'mitzvah. And the Mishmur over there says, so what does the Shulchan Aruch say? That the Rosh was makbid to make his own matzahs. Because he wanted to do the, because it's a roadway that you should do this yourself. A lot of people are makbid about this, that they make their own matzahs, dafka and erev Pesach also, that they make their own, some people, you know, rent
out.
It's also actually mitzvah good. Maybe ksub b'kra also, right? But that's so some people rent out the matzah bakery. My brother bakes his own matzahs at home, which means my sister-in-law's an adventurous person by allowing him to risk it, to put flour and water together in your house on Erev Pesach after the Sol Shemayim Yisrael Chametz. But he says he knows what he's doing, so the assumption is that the matzah is kosher. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that why is it that the Rosh would make his own matzah? It's a mitzvah about Yosef Mishlucha, because mitzvah Yosef Mishlucha. Clearly, Mishnah Berurah is quoting from Magen Avraham, clearly we're assuming mitzvah about Yosef Mishlucha applies to other mitzvahs. It's not only when it comes to, now that's not necessarily against Shulchan Aruch Harav, because it's saying that it applies to all mitzvahs as a maila, that the Rosh, he mishtadel, not a chiyuv, but like you're looking for a good chumrah, that's a good thing to do. That's a good chumrah. Chavis Yair in Siman Reishei thinks that maybe Shabbos is the only mitzvah that it really applies to. He has a svara as to why that should be. He talks about being menagim lefnei achasim v'akala. The Shaila was, he was asked about it, Tzor Mer Rabbanan, someone who's a big Talmud Chacham, he's a masmid, and he's also musically talented in many different instruments. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to play in the band in front of a Chasan HaKala, whether going to the Chuppah or at the Suda itself, or do you say that he's not allowed to be Mevaza himself because of his Kvod HaTorah, that he's not allowed to be Mevaza Kvod Torah? Yeah, that's when you're not going to stand for him or something like that. It's kvod ha-machl, but Rabbi Zion, when he's going to be mevaza himself, you're not going to say kvod ha-machl when it comes to something like that, when it comes to bizayon of a Talmud Chacham. So the Chavetz Yair writes that based on your shayla, he says, Roy listapik, im kenagin ha-menagin v'tnei ha-chas v'kal, have you bizayon? He says, first of all, I'm not sure of your categorization that playing musical instruments is a bizayon. You know, that could just be a heder kavod. I don't know that that's necessarily a bizayon. He says, in fact, let's say you wanted to be a waiter at the wedding. Let's say you were serving the chasan and kala. Even if you're a nasi and talmud chacham, that's not considered bizayon. Okay, parakam and kiddushin lam beis and beis. Balkei tovar to lomig bizayon. Rag bin shein v'snag bin kiyus b'chei gavna. That would lechora not be a problem if he's doing it to be mechabed achim. But he says, Let me grant it. Let's assume that it's a ktsas bizayon based on the way people view it. So the Chora, he says, it's then taluy in the machlokas rishon. Because shitas Rambam, when the Chachamim say, zaken venil fi kvodo, that if he's a bal nefesh, he could be machmir and be meshet the abeda, right? Meaning the halach is that the Chachamim, let's say, Shachter always gives the example, I wouldn't give this example, but Chayav Adam Lomar B'Losh of Rambam, and if the Talmud Chacham was walking in the street, or she was walking in the street, and he sees a pair of underwear in the street, and it's got a name tag in it. So he's going to carry around the underwear, and he's going to say, he's machris, that he wants to be meshet the abeda, that he's going to, you know, so he's going to walk in the street with a pair of underwear. He doesn't have any pockets to stick it in. Happens we tell you to walk around with pairs of underwear in their pockets all the time for other reasons, but okay, when you become chassan. But so he's gonna do Hashem Zaveda. He doesn't have any pockets. He's a Tashur Chassan or something. He doesn't have any pockets. So he carries. Okay, whatever. I'll explain that to you sometime also. But there's a, he's gonna carry it around in public. So the Rambam says that's a wonderful chumrah. And the Rosh says no, he's not allowed to be mevaza b'kvota raso. So if that's the case, so kolshkin harash that tassu tamu chacham is bazel l'dvar mitzvah afil the rami alei kolshkin b'chei gavna. Meaning if that was a mitzvah of Hashem's aveda, which is mamish rami alei, I mean you're the one that came across the aveda, and even in that case we said that you shouldn't be mevazi yourself. So for sure to choose to be the band at the wedding when you don't have to be.
Once your mother, it's not rami alei anymore.
Right, but the Rosh is saying to that otherwise, volunteering, that meaning otherwise it would have been, and still you're not allowed to volunteer that mitzvah.
Yeah,
and over here it's something.
It's only because you're butter.
But over here it's something that's even less.
So here you're not butter for it.
Why not?
He's a musician. I'm saying they're musicians.
Why wouldn't you be butter for it?
Because over here there's still.
Meaning the bizay, it's the bizay tamachacham that makes you butter for it.
Also on Shabbos?
No.
What do you mean the Shabbos?
On Shabbos, on the front of the Shabbos, would there also be a din of Shizan Tamachacham and
you'd be Pater? So again, that's what Shulchan Aruch Rav said. Shabbat, that was Shulchan Aruch Rav's whole raya, that must be a chiyuv in the Klapei Shabbos. Otherwise, there's no way you'd be allowed to do it. You wouldn't be allowed to otherwise. What do you do with all the Gemaras and Ksubas, right? The Talmid Chacham would carry the kalas on their shoulders and they would juggle and they would do all these things. Okay, so we'll get there. So says the Chavis Yair. You said he's a musician. I assume Talmud Chacham also. Otherwise, there's no question, right? Otherwise, there's nothing fast. Yeah. So Kolshkein Dildas Harosh Aslo Talmud Chacham Misbazus Ladvar Mitzvah. He says another Nafkamina in this Machlokas Rambam the Rosh. The halach is Kohen Gadol is not made except for Bifnei HaMelech. Let's say he wants to be made, meaning you can't subpoena Kohen Gadol to testify in court because you can't be mevazeh Kohen Gadol to come at your whim. That no regular Beis Din can demand that Kohen Gadol shows up to Beis Din. So the question is, he allowed to? Is he allowed to? If he wants to, he says, I have what to say. It's interesting. It could be that that's different because it could be that when you lack the koach, the power of subpoena, when you lack the power to demand someone's edus, you know, there's a mitzvah about the edus. You're not allowed to be kovish edus. It's like a navi being kovish nevuah. So there's a mitzvah to be kovish. There's a mitzvah to hide. If you have edus, you have to share the edus, right? So it could be that when we're not able to demand it, then the edus becomes invalid. Why do I say that? From a ma'isa shahaya, my brother told me that a friend of his from Neri Yisrael went to become a principal of a school in Seattle, I think it was. And he was, or a Rebbe in a school in Seattle. And they were learning Hilchos Eidos, they were learning Sanhedrin. And a girl, a seventh grade girl, asked, I don't understand, why can't women be Eidim? Right? What's the problem with women being Eidim? And he had no idea how to respond. Women are not trustworthy, Xeris HaKasav, will she even understand Xeris HaKasav? So he wasn't sure what to do. So he called up, he had learned in Eishah Torah, or maybe he had learned in Eishol, and Rav Yaakov Weinberg pointed him to his brother, to Rav Noach. So this is a Rav Noach kind of question. So he called Rav Noach Weinberg, Zechron Avraham, and Rav Noach said, do you understand why it is that a woman is pater from mitzvah shasman grava? So he said, I heard a few different shitas. He said, Pashto says she's pater from mitzvah shasman grava because a woman can't be bound to do something at a specific time. She has other responsibilities built into her life, is that she has the achrayus of raising children, that she has other responsibilities that can't be so time precise. So he said, okay, what does that have to do with this? He said, If a Beis Din cannot subpoena her, because they can't say you have to come now, they can't, because she has other responsibilities that beat that out. If a Beis Din lacks the koach to demand the edus, then by definition the edus becomes a pick and choose. Then the edus becomes, oh, you'll say that which you want to say, not that which you don't want to say, and you'll share. Edus that's a pick and choose is not a kind of edus that we could accept in Beis Din. So it's automatically disqualified. It's not the person, it's the nature of the Eidus. Okay, you like the answer, you don't like the answer, but that was pretty sharp, I thought. So anyway, it could be that that Eidus is different, but that's what the Chavis Yair writes. So says the Chavis Yair, so now we get back to Seth's second question. Says the Chavis Yair, ve'ein lahakshos ala rush. You can ask on the Rush that the Rush says that you're not allowed to volunteer to be mevazi yourself. What about David HaMelech? He was mevazi himself. You're like one of the reikim. Interesting. Anything that has kedusha, they're allowed to do. Does the sukkah have kedusha? Chisuk kedusha yeshba. So the Gemara says, yeah. Shem shachal shem shemayim al chagiga. Kachal shem shemayim al sukkah. Right? There are a lot of makoros that associate sukkah with kedusha and with shem Hashem and things of that nature. Even though lahalacha, just a strict halacha, sukkah is tashmishi mitzvah, it's not tashmishi kedusha. If you need to get rid of a sukkah, you don't need to put it in Shemus. The guy who runs the Shemus box will not be happy with you if you drop your sukkah in the Shemus box. So you are allowed to dispose of it the way you would tashmishi mitzvah. So he says, the Chavis Yair says that maybe Shabbos is different. When it comes to dancing, maybe Dvarim Shebekedusha are different. Meaning, he makes that second exception that Dvarim Shebekedusha are different as well. And he says at the end, "V'divrei Arush einam rak v'dvar mitzvah shubin adam lechaveru depatra Torah lezakim v'tamidcham v'enul v'kvodo kechal shomer v'nezal kol shem v'tabla v'edus shalom." He says, "Dafka by v'enul lechaveru types of mitzvahs. That's where we have the heter of zakim v'enul v'kvodo, and that's where the Rush is going to say you're not allowed to be mevazi yourself. You're not allowed to volunteer because then you're just being mevazi to Russell to deal with just a human being's money." As opposed to mitzvah spin on the makom, and kol shkei mitzvah shazman goreim, heina kol Yisrael, heina mufrod son of Yisrael, the yach v'sibra, ein bo mishum bizoi kvod zikna v'torah v'kol anoi kalas v'atzmul zorah v'vav, it's Hashem, avshem v'tzei mamish, rak mitzvah son, whatever, so he says anytime you have mitzvah spin on the makom, l'chorah, that would be an exception as well. So again, is this for all mitzvahs or only for Shabbos? So the Chavis Yair says maybe Shabbos is different, but ultimately says maybe benom, there's a spin on the makom, on the chavero, as far as meaning mitzvah boyosim b'shluchav applies maybe to everything, but not at the expense of being mevazi yourself, other than mitzvah spit on the lamakam. So it would turn out that mitzvah spit on the chavero, it would be problematic, like at the chasana. I don't think he deals directly with the Gemara about. He does. Ah, he says, "V'mkein l'fimash chasvul dasarash lo nachon la'utzar merabonon la'asos kein rak tetzorach iyun mehadis chazi amudu denura l'fnei Rabbi Yudvar Miloi davim rakid atlas l'fnei chasim bekala." That the Gemara says that there was a pillar of fire in honor of Rabbi Yudvar Miloi because of the way he would dance in front of the chasim and kala atzorach chum kamachsif l'nsabe to the point that the Chum said that he's embarrassing us with his ubali safek l'inish ba'alma havel bizayon and clearly, for a regular person, that would be a bizayon. V'yesh lomar dada mufursa mechasidah shayna. He says, maybe if you're mufursa mechasidah, so it comes out a little bit funny. That if you're a regular person, good, dance, tiara, stand on your head, do whatever you want, right? If you're talmid chacham, you can't be mevazi yourself. If you're mufursa mechasidah, then you're back in. Then you're okay. Then you're allowed to do it again. A little bit difficult. You have to be magdir exactly why that would be the case. Okay. Now, yeah.
Is that changing now in today's day and age with something that might be now considered somebody being relatable, a great rav being relatable because they're doing something that.
That was the famous line, right? Who was it that said it? You know, if you're going to play ball with Talmidim, only play ball if you're good. What? Moshe Feinstein? Rav Lichtenstein. No, there's someone else.
Rav
Scheinberg. Okay, whatever. It's one of those things you hear the name of every gadol, as you just did. It wasn't the Satmar Rebbe.
yeah. It probably wasn't Rebbe Kramer either.
What?
It probably wasn't Rebbe Kramer
either. Rebbe Kramer is really good. Yeah. Rebbe Kramer. The first year they ever had a DRS, Rebbe Talmud basketball game, Rebbeim destroyed the Talmud. Rebbe Gershon, first of all, they only had a 9th and 10th grade, and so they were no bigger kids. And the Rebbeim were still young, so Rebbe Balzin was young, Rebbe Kamenetsky was young, Rebbe Kramer was teaching a class in DRS, so we got to draft him onto the team. So he was. So Rebbe Kramer, they thought it wouldn't be fair. So at a Rebbe's meeting, they decided in advance that Rebbe Kramer shouldn't shoot the ball the whole game because it's not fair to the kids. So the other Rebbe, Rebbe Kramer said, "Could I just be? We have to worry about the confidence of the guys. Maybe we should, let them have this one." So the Rebbe were like, "Rebbe Kamenetsky, Rebbe Tzitzis, Rebbe Kramer said, Rebbe." If there's one thing you taught me about basketball, it's that you play to win. He's like, I know, but these are kids or whatever. So Rebbe Kramer said, maybe I just won't shoot. So they said, Rebbe, give us one quarter of the game where you'll shoot. So he, third quarter we chose as the quarter that he would shoot. So Rebbe Benovitz was Rebbe in DRS at the time, and of course Rebbe Benovitz you can't just have Rebbe talking basketball game. You have to have if you predict how many points are going to be scored in which quarter and who's going to score the most in whatever quarter, then you get or whatever, everything was a system. So Rebbe Kramer didn't shoot the whole game, then the third quarter came, and he walked up the court 6 times in a row, pulled up from 5 feet behind 3-point line, and drained the 3 6 times in a row, and scored 18 points in the third quarter. That was the kid who had Rebbe Kramer going for 18 in the third quarter, and zero for the rest of the game, I don't know, he's a millionaire today. We discussed the other day, Osek B'Talmud Torah Patur Min HaMitzvah. What about Osek B'Talmud Torah and Hechsher Mitzvah? Or not Hechsher Mitzvah. Also, the Talmud Torah Mitzvah Boyosim B'Shluchav. Meaning, is that called Efshal Asos Aydei Chayrin? Meaning the Gemara might have been told us that we also the Talmud Torah it's a Mitzvah that's Efshal Asos Aydei Chayrin. So let Achayrin do it. You don't have to be the one to do it. So is that true when it's your Mitzvah also, but you could accomplish it through a Shliach? Or do we say no? Mitzvah Boyosim B'Shluchav overrides. So in Sharet Zion, Simin Reish Nun, he discusses. He says, "V'nira d'lo shayich b'zalomar mitzvah shiuchel asayde chemer mevatel talmud afilu zman muad." He says, "We're not going to say what the Gemara says that you can't be mevatel talmud Torah even for a short amount of time because zavshal asos yadei chemer." What's the raya? The biggest raya? All these amarayim was zavshal asos yadei chemer, and yet they still did it. Rav Pam's grandson told me that his grandfather every Arab Shabbos would make a potato kugel. Every Arab Shabbos he would make a potato kugel. Why would he make a potato kugel every Arab Shabbos? Is it Yosem Shlucho? So that's what the Amorim said. His grandmother knew how to make a potato kugel, but his grandfather made the potato kugel every Arab Shabbos. It's going to take away from his learning. Ironically, interestingly, one of Rav Moshe's grandchildren told me when I asked why they published their own biography in the beginning of the 8th volume of the Gris Moshe. So one of the grandchildren said that they were bothered by some of the things in the art school biography, that it seemed like they were listening to whoever the person who wrote it was listening to stories that people said, but they weren't really checking for accuracy on every story. So I said, L'mashal, what would be a story? I said, yeah, there's a story there that it was Erev Shabbos and the kids were going crazy and the house was a mess and whatever. And Rav Moshe got up from his gemara and he took a broom and he sweeped the floor and he helped clean out and bathe the children and he took care of Shabbos. So the grandchild said to me, anyone who knew my grandparents, my grandfather never would have done that, and my grandmother never would have allowed him to do that. That was not their marriage. She knew when she was getting married, she was marrying the Gadol Adar, that's who he was destined to be, that's what he was supposed to be, and that was their deal. That's what he had to be. And she never would have allowed such a thing. So, which is you're not sure which is a more inspiring story now, right? More inspiring that he wanted to help, or that this was the deal, that he's got to be who, for all of us, you get up and you help, right? But anyway, so the Shaar Tzion writes, "B'hacha lo yuchalos salidei shlucho da'adav hum mishu shu'archa legabri." So Yishlom, it's a dafka mitzvah she'ein matelas al gufo. He says, when you have a mitzvah that's not really your mitzvah, you know, to go to be gomel chesed, you know, with a person in another place. So if there's someone else to be gomel that chesed, someone needs to do the shopping for to Levi, for Rabbi Razu's mother. They said that Rabbi Razu's mother used to take a blind lady that lived around the corner shopping whenever she needed to go shopping. So someone needs to take the blind lady shopping, right? So should it be, you know, if Rabbi Razu's mother is going to do it, if she was willing to do it, so should someone get up from it? Should Rabbi Razu get up from his learning to do it? So no, that's what he's saying. You can't be mivazik yitam atalim. There's someone else that's going to be willing to do it. Masha'inkin v'zeh shakovet Shabbos matelis al gufo. As opposed to over here, where the kovet Shabbos is your chiyuv of kovet Shabbos. You have to show kovet Shabbos. Umeila mitzvah bo yosem shlucho. And therefore, you're going to say mitzvah bo yosem shlucho, even at the expense of Talmud Torah. Inami, the dafkali in Kavod Shabbos, I mean, came to Chamira, Hashem came in Shar Mitzvos. In the Talmud Chacham, Lagei Lebitul Tar Vitzar Chiyu. He says, or maybe not. Maybe dafka Kavod Shabbos and all the other mitzvos are different, and you're only allowed to be Batal Torah for the sake of Kavod Shabbos, and not allowed to be Batal Torah for the sake of any other mitzvah. So he really leaves it, you know, where you know that it could go in either direction. Another area to measure it against is, what about mitzvah yosem shlucho versus hidur mitzvah? Let's say you took a safras class, so you can form basic kosher letters. There is a mitzvah taryag in the Torah, is ksiva sefer Torah. So you could write a sefer Torah that will not be particularly mahuda, because you're a novice, right? A novice normally starts, what's the first thing they write? A Megillah, because we're most makil about things in Megillah. Normally they start at the end, and they write it backwards. Why do they do that? Because when someone's looking to buy a Megillah, they open up the first few columns, and they look, and it's nice. So they want to get better by the time they write the first few columns. So when you're looking for a Megillah, check the last few columns. Don't check the first few columns. But you're a novice sofer. I was once at Achnas Sefer Torah, and the sofer who wrote it was there. And as they were dancing in the Sefer Torah, I said to the sofer, "Is it a mahudadik of Sefer Torah?" And I was just like, I need a conversation with the sofer. And he said, "No." I said, "What?" He said, "They didn't pay for a mahudadik of Sefer Torah. They paid for a mahudadik of mantle on the Sefer Torah, but they didn't pay for it. So they got the Sefer Torah they paid for." Okay, so every time, I'd always be cautious of getting an aliyah with that Sefer Torah. He's already saying it's not mahud, they're probably not kosher either. So you could write a Sefer Torah, you could hire someone who actually is a great sofer to write the Sefer Torah. So is it better to do hidur mitzvah, better to do mitzvah yosem shlucho? So it may depend on what the source of the rule is. From the Gemara, it sounds like a simple svara, which may be, not as strong as hidur mitzvah, which is a pasuk of Zakeli Van Veil, right? The Gemara is just saying that it's a svara, that bo mekadesh b'shlucho mekadesh bo mibay, mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. We don't really have a direct source. However, it could be that the source is based on a Rashi in Chumash, that Rashi writes Vayashkim Rav Boker, so Vayashkim is Dari's b'mitzvah, Vayachvosh is Chamorim, right? So it says Rashi, Hu ba'atzmo v'lotziva le'echa me'avodav, sha'ava mekalkela sashura. The Rav Aminu prepared the donkey himself, even though he had avodim, he was the richest man alive, he could have had anyone do that for him. He didn't do that because Avim Makalkelas is Ashura, but maybe that's a maramakum for the idea of it's about Yosef Mishlucha, that we should have such Avas Hashem, which would mean that it's the same source as the same pasuk of Zrizin Magdimin Lemitzvos, which would be subject to the same discussion as to whether Zrizin beats Hidur. So what did we say yesterday? Does Zrizin beat Hidur? So we have that Chumash Sedeshin about Kiddush Levana on Matzoy Shabbos, which implies that Hidur beats Zrizos. Right, that as long as it's not going to be cloudy, as long as it's summertime, better to do it b'hidur than to do it b'zrizus. I think that's the standard.
If you have better mo'el, it could be around the afternoon.
Same shayla, right? Better mo'el. No, but that's a major question. Ramesha has a shayla like that. A father wanted to be mal his own kid. His wife said, "Over my dead body," and he said, "What do you mean? It's my mitzvah. It's a mitzvah by Yosef Mishlucha. So I should." Although shlichus by mila is more complicated.
Yeah, well, there was a Ramesha on that same Torah question. This is actually what's the meant in our relation with Ramesha. Ramesha holds that there's no mitzvah to write a same Torah. even in the Rambam, where everyone we see, everyone else says the Rambam holds the mitzvah, it's not a result of the mitzvah. He also skips it as a result of the mitzvah, like what you talked about earlier this year. And he puts it in that category, even when the Rambam, which nobody else does. But I came and had a big shadow.
What do you mean no mitzvah? Meaning so it's not even a mitzvah to appoint a shliach to write it?
Correct. Correct.
So it's just about learning.
Having
Svarim
and Rambam says if you inherit a Sefer Torah, you still survive on it anyway. That's everyone's proof that the Rambam holds. It's really an idea. And he's like, no, it's just to get something, but it's not. It totally is all the mitzvah.
Interesting.
So that's what I came up with. But we're thinking to when I wrote my Sefer Torah, so I invited Rav Ashi to write the last Sefer, write the last letter. I didn't have anyone else write. We're thinking similar to another thing you said earlier. Question with you, before you could get Sefer Torah, you could get partial mitzvah. He knows that. Since they're showing the whole thing, you can't split it, you should do it all yourself. They don't have anyone else write Sefer. We have a Russian coming. And have I not asked, I wasn't close with him, have I not asked him to write the last Sefer? But he said, the problem is, they have that, that the done for us, not just sleepers, you should pay for it. So that would be easier. But I went to Russia, I said, my Rebbe, I don't know what to do. On one hand, I want to write the last letter. On the other hand, my Rebbe holds that you can't do it, you can't split the mitzvah, so I need you only for what to do with the shliach. I mean, you might even think that you don't have to be shliach for my Sefer Torah. So, what should I do? He's like, it's your Sefer Torah. I'll take the money. I'll do it. You know what I wrote about that thing. That's the
matter
of
us. We
didn't know before
then. Very nice. Beautiful. Okay. Can't think of a more fitting ending. Okay. Everyone have a wonderful day. And a wonderful rest of the summer. Tehillat Slachem.